Heavenly Father, your word challenges us and inspires us. Help us to watch out when you warn us and to listen carefully when you teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm about to delve into your technology brain. Recently, I got a new app on my phone. Do you know what an app is? Some of you go, no. Anyway, I got this new app on my phone, and it's just says on the front of the app, IFTTT. Does anyone know what that means? IFTTT. And it stands for if this, then that. That's pretty simple, right? Which we can do that. Like, so we know how it works in normal life. Like, for instance, if I elbowed Sandra, she probably wouldn't like me, right? So that's if this, then that. But in this technology, it's actually really interesting. So, for instance, I could tell this app that when I arrive home, to turn my thermostat onto 28 degrees. That's if it's in winter, and that's if it's between 4 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So I can tell it what to do. If this, so if I arrive home and it's between 4 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon and winter, then turn my thermostat on to this degrees. It's quite amazing. I used a very similar technology a few months ago when I needed to remember something when I got here. So I told my phone, when I get to church, remind me to do this. And so it put up, used the geo satellite navigation system. So when it realised I got to where the church was, a reminder came up, do this. Ah, good one. If this, then that. It's a technology that's coming, it's here. And in our Bible reading, we've actually got an if this, then that built into the Colossians reading that we've heard today. If this, then that. What is the if this, then that? In chapter 3, it says, sin Christ. Since you have been raised with Christ. That's the if. If you have been raised with Christ, then there are some things that follow. But before we talk about being raised with Christ, how does that happen? We're raised with Him actually because we've all been baptized with Him into His death. That we align ourselves so much with what happened on the cross and that His death becomes ours, that we become new as we grab onto His life. So His life and death become ours and we're bound up with the work that He has done. But now, brothers and sisters, we are raised with Christ. That life is our new story and no longer death. Though our mortal bodies may die again, life is our story. Life and the good things that God is working to remake His creation. That is our story. So since we have been raised with Christ, or if this, then that. So what's the then that in this passage? Well, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. I wonder, brothers and sisters, what is your heart set on at the moment? Paul encourages us to have our heart, the number one thing that we're desiring, to be set on Him above. Some of you may well say, oh, no. I don't want to become so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. You heard that before? Well, that's a load of rubbish, right? That is a load of rubbish. If you are heavenly minded, you will be praying and doing like what we heard last week in the Lord's Prayer. We're praying, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what's in heaven? Justice, love, mercy, forgiveness, action. All things set right. So if we are people who are heavenly minded, we will be working with God for His kingdom to come. Does that make sense? It's not just to be off in a prayer closet, even though prayer is good, that we float in the clouds somehow. That's not what we mean by set our hearts on things above or to become heavenly minded. No, we look for justice and we look for the things that make God's heart beat. They become our heart, and that is for the life of the world. Marriages become stronger. Children become obedient. Yes, come on, yes. Parents are looked after. Orphans are cared for. Those in other countries who have nothing start to find that they have something, because there's Christians in the wealthy countries setting their hearts on things above. I plead with you, like Paul does, for that to be where our heart is set. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. This is that bit of teaching is very much in line with the parable we heard from Luke, where the guy in that parable obviously had set his heart and his mind and everything in him in living for himself. The problem wasn't that he had money, rather that he set his heart on eating, drinking and being merry and not caring about anybody else. And the kingdom of God is all about caring for everybody and loving people as God does. Doesn't mean we can't have things ourselves, but when we store and hoard for ourselves at the exclusion of others, that is when it becomes a problem, because we're not living for the things above. The second thing that Paul encourages the people, if this, then that. It's not just our heart we set, so that's our emotions and our inner being, but also our mind. We set our mind on things above. And what does that do? Well, actually, our mind, our thoughts normally precede our actions, don't they? We need to decide sometimes to do things and choose to live a certain way, and then we're able to do it by setting not just our heart, our emotions, but also our mind on things above. We're much more likely to get to the actions that match being one of His kids. But how do we do that? How do we set our mind on things above? Well, I think it actually says eyes, does it? Where are we? Verse. Set your minds, it does. A few years ago, actually it wasn't a few years ago, it was a few weeks, I was coaching my basketball team, and here I was talking to them, and I'm giving them the most important point in the world, right? Everything I say I think is important in basketball, but I'm telling this team and really getting excited about it, and there's one of the kids. He's looking at the game over here. And I'm like, what are you doing? And so I just went over and stood with him. And I started to look that way too. And the rest of the team thought I was crazy, but I made the point. I'm like, guys, you've got to focus on me. I'm trying to teach you. Don't get distracted on the things that are over here. Here's where you're going to learn at the moment. Set your eyes here. And this is really what we're called to be as disciples of Jesus or learners of Jesus, is that we look at him with our emotions and also with our mind. We look at him and how he operates. And even though he's perfect and we can't quite attain what he does, we can see the direction we're going. Right? We can see the direction we're going by fixing our mind on him and not what's happening on the other court. Because what's happening in the other court is a whole lot of selfishness and evil at different times. Sure, there's some good things that happen on the other court every now and then, but where we need to fix our eyes is on him. Last week, we actually have one of the greatest tools for setting our hearts and minds on things above. Eddie spoke about the Lord's Prayer. And brothers and sisters, we pray it every week, don't we? And we can pray it every day. I gave the sermon at the family service and night service on the Lord's Prayer last week, and it just kept coming back to me through the week. I was driving back from Epsom at one stage, and I'm like, Lord, what do I... Oh, Father in heaven, I praise you, Heavenly Father. I started to pray this Lord's Prayer, and it refocused me on him. It's a very simple tool. The Lord's Prayer tells us, it tells our mind and our being about who we are. We're in relationship with the Father. That in prayer there's also a reverence, because it's a holy thing when we pray. That in the Lord's Prayer we refocus our spirits and our minds on the things that God has, on the things that are coming, restoration, when justice will be here, when relationships will be set right. And we start to live that way. It challenges us when we're out of line with his way. The Lord's Prayer gives us reliance on God, unlike the guy in the parable who tried to build bigger barns to be self-reliant. It helps us to realize that we can rely on our Father in heaven. This Lord's Prayer also helps set our hearts and minds on things above, by calling us out when we need to repent from our willful rebellion or from our accidental. But nonetheless, it helps remind us, heart and mind, that we are the problem sometimes. Sometimes. And we need to ask for forgiveness. But it also tells us that restoration is the goal. And so when we have a grudge with someone who has done a little thing, for us to stop making it a big thing and go and sort it out. Because restoration is the goal. And it also tells us, so we're prepared inside and in our mind, that there will be times of testing that come, and that God wants us to resist and to refocus back to his way. If this... If we've been raised with Christ, and then we set our hearts and minds on things above, we'll realize that we are hidden with Christ. It says that in verse 3, that's where our life is. And that when Christ, who is our life, returns, then we will appear with him in glory. But there's also one other than that attached in this passage. From verse 5 onwards, it talks about a whole list of things that we really shouldn't be doing. Here we go. I'll get there in a sec, I think. Here we go. It talks about these things, but I wanted to challenge the heading in the Bible. It says, rules for holy living. right? I can challenge the headings because the headings aren't the scripture. Okay, the headings are put in there by people. Right. Rules for holy living. And then it talks about all these things. Actually, these are the outcome of godly living. As we fix our mind and hearts on things above and we realize that we're hid with Christ, we will continually, through the rest of our life, be putting to death these things that are listed. Because we're one of Jesus' followers. And he calls us to continue to walk his way rather than our own. But our nature that we're at war with will continue to lead us to these things. And so it's with determination that we say the old is gone and the new has come. And we keep coming back to God as an outcome of what he's done for us and not as a way to earn his favour. So what do? As a result, if we're hid in Christ, we put to death those things that belong to the earthly nature. Things that actually destroy us and each other. That's really what we would put to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, often we'll just skip over that last passage. Isn't that what we do in church now? We don't talk about hell or anything like that. Well, why is the wrath of God coming? Because these are the things that rightly should be silenced and squashed in our world. These things are the things that lead to destruction of our relationships and cause us to hide from God in shame. And so God's right anger will come on these things. But God has provided that way out. We know that because we're already found in Christ. We've been raised with him. So the wrath of God will not scare us because we're hid in Christ. The last thing that we need to remember is that we rid ourselves of such things, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from our lips. And we don't lie to each other because the old is gone and the new has come. What's the goal again? That we be renewed in the knowledge in the image of the Creator. And this is where we will end up, brothers and sisters. The more we set our mind on things above, we'll be renewed more and more into the image of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we will become more and more aware of your grace towards us, that we'll know it in our hearts and our minds. And as we know it, the actions will take care of themselves and will become more and more like you. As your disciples, help us to continue to work with you in the sanctification of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.